All right, so you guys sent in a ton of research on misophonia.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, I didn't really know a whole lot about it going in, but wow, this stuff is really fascinating.
It is. It's
Yeah.
really interesting.
People think it's just like hating certain sounds, but it's like
Right.
way more than that,
Yeah,
right?
it's a lot more than that.
It's like we all have those sounds, you know, like nails on a chalkboard or whatever.
Right.
But this is like, you know, your whole body screaming, make it stop kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, and it can be really intense and
Yeah.
really uncontrollable and can really affect your relationships and just how you go about your day-to-day life.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So we've got some medical perspectives here from Dr. Dinesh.
Yeah.
Some research studies on like what's happening in the brain
Yes.
and even how misophonia impacts things
Yep.
like education and like your overall mental health.
Absolutely. It's a very broad-reaching condition, it seems.
Yeah, so much to unpack here. But luckily, we have our resident expert here to kind of help break it all down.
I'm happy to.
Yeah, and figure out what's most important for you all to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
Where do we even begin with all this?
let's start with just the basics. Defining misophonia.
Okay.
So misophonia is what we call a decreased sound tolerance disorder.
Okay.
So it's not just disliking a sound. It's really about having these extreme emotional and even physical reactions
Okay.
to very specific triggers.
So it's not even just like the volume,
Right.
it's like the actual content of the
The
sound.
sound itself,
Yeah.
the meaning.
Okay.
So, you know, think about it this way. You
Okay.
have hyperacusis. You're sensitive to loudness in general
Okay.
with misophonia.
Yeah.
It's really about the content of a specific sound.
Okay.
And often these are repetitive or human-made kind of noises.
Okay, so it's like nails on a chalkboard,
Yeah.
but for like everyday sounds.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the reactions, it sounds like, are pretty intense.
Oh,
Like,
absolutely.
is it more than just like
Wham!
feeling annoyed?
Think about a wave of anger hitting you,
Oh, wow.
or disgust the second you hear that trigger sound.
Okay.
Or your anxiety just goes through the roof, and it's not like you can just tell yourself to chill out.
Right.
These feelings are unwanted and often totally uncontrollable.
Right.
Some people even have full-blown outbursts because of it.
Yeah, that
But
sounds
what if?
incredibly disruptive to your life.
It absolutely is,
Yeah.
and it goes beyond the emotional too. You
Okay.
might feel your chest tighten, your heart racing,
Oh.
even have trouble breathing.
Okay.
Some people report actual physical pain.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, it's like you're,
It is.
it really takes over your whole body.
It really does.
Not even just like your mind.
It's like that fight or flight is
Yeah.
on high alert,
Okay.
even though there's no real danger. And it's important to remember that everyone's experience with this is going to be unique.
Okay.
Your personal history, the situation you're in, and the meaning you attach to that sound
Yeah.
all play a role.
Okay.
And isn't it interesting
Yeah.
that research shows that these reactions usually happen around people you're close to?
Okay.
Not so much with strangers or animals making the same sounds.
That is interesting. It's
Yeah.
like your brain is making a judgment call
Right.
about the person making the sound,
Yeah.
not even just the sound itself.
Exactly.
Huh. Okay, so
Yeah.
what are some of the most common sounds that
But
trigger these reactions?
a lot of them are sounds that we really connect with other people.
Okay.
So chewing, breathing, tapping, even the way someone clears their throat.
Right. Like specific things.
And sometimes it's even more specific than that.
Okay.
Like a particular person's voice can be a trigger.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not just like
It's not just a
an
sound.
abstract sound. It's like.
It's tied to that person and what they're doing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, Palumbo and other researchers actually describe misophonia as having these
Oh.
intensely negative reactions
Okay.
that are often connected to the person making them.
Interesting. Okay, so we've talked about the sounds, we've talked about the reactions.
Right.
What's actually going on inside the brain
Right.
that causes all this?
Yeah.
Is there something actually different?
And that's where things get really fascinating.
Okay.
Research has pointed to some key areas of the brain that seem to be involved.
Okay.
The insular cortex, the amygdala, and the auditory
All
cortex.
right, so break those down for us.
Yeah.
What's so special about each one of these areas?
So the insular cortex is really fascinating
Yeah.
because it actually helps you process emotions, be self-aware, and even control automatic functions like your heartbeat.
Oh, wow.
There's a part of it called the anterior insular cortex, or the AIC,
Okay.
that's especially important in misophonia. It helps you understand and feel what's going on inside your own body.
Okay.
Which might explain why these sounds trigger those intense physical reactions.
Okay.
And
so it's like that AIC is on overdrive, like sending all these alarm signals.
That's the thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, now the amygdala is another big player.
Okay.
It's basically the brain's emotional center controlling things like fear and anxiety.
Right.
Remember those intense emotional responses we were talking about?
Yes.
The amygdala is likely driving a lot of that.
So then the auditory cortex
obviously
processes sounds.
Yes.
But is there something different about how it functions in people with misophonia?
Studies have shown that when people with misophonia hear those trigger sounds, there's a surge of activity in their auditory cortex.
Okay.
This means their brains are processing those sounds differently.
Okay.
Maybe even amplifying them compared to someone without misophonia.
So it's not like they're choosing to be bothered. No, by these sounds.
It's their brain
that's
actually perceiving it differently. And here's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
Studies have shown that in misophonia, there's a lot of activity, specifically in the left amygdala.
Okay.
Which is really unusual because most psychiatric disorders actually show underactivity in the left amygdala.
So it's not just
a
more intense version of...
It's really a different brain process.
Of like what everyone's experiencing. It's a completely...
That's what the research is pointing to.
Wow, okay.
And it gets even deeper than that.
Okay.
There's evidence that the brains of people with misophonia actually have structural differences.
Okay.
Certain areas have a larger volume of gray matter and white matter.
Remind me what those are again?
No problem.
Yeah.
So gray matter is mostly made up of brain cells.
Okay.
And it's where all the information processing happens.
Uh-huh.
And then white matter is like the wiring
that
connects different parts of your brain.
Okay, so finding differences in these areas suggests that people with misophonia are literally wired differently.
That's what it suggests.
When it comes to processing these sounds and reacting to them.
Exactly.
Wow, okay, and there's
one more
piece of the puzzle.
One more piece of the puzzle.
That I think you'll find really interesting. And this has to do with how our brains control movement. Okay, I'm intrigued. What's the connection between misophonia and movement?
So remember how we talked about those physical reactions like muscle tension and clenching?
Yeah.
Well, Kumar and his team did some groundbreaking research that actually helps explain this.
Okay.
They found that when people with misophonia hear their trigger sounds, they actually have involuntary muscle responses.
So like they're...
But like their brain is telling their bodies to react. Even if they're trying their hardest to stay calm.
Oh, wow. So even if they're like...
Trying to keep it together.
Betraying them.
Their body's like, nope. That's got to be frustrating.
It is.
Yeah.
And this is where things get important for treatment.
Okay.
This research shows that we need to address both the emotional and the physical when it comes to misophonia.
So it's not...
Not enough.
Enough to just manage the emotional distress.
Right.
You also have to help people control those like automatic physical reactions.
Those automatic physical reactions,
That makes a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
It's like trying to calm your mind without calming your body. It's only solving half the problem.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's not as simple as just avoiding those triggering sounds.
Unfortunately not.
Okay.
There's a lot more carrot than that.
Okay.
It's about addressing the whole person.
Right.
Their brain, their body, and how they think and feel about the world around them.
This is already getting pretty complex.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm ready for more. So we're back and ready to, you know, dive even deeper into this world of misophonia.
Yeah.
And, you know, before the break, we were talking about how these sounds actually trigger those, like physical reactions, almost like your body's preparing to... Like
fight or flee. Yeah.
Even though it's, you know.
Just a sound.
Just a sound, yeah.
Exactly.
And it seems like there's like this real disconnect between what, you know, logically and how your body's actually reacting.
You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
The research is really starting to shed some light on why that disconnect happened.
Okay. Yeah. So where do we start to unravel that web?
So remember how we talked about those specific brain areas like the amygdala and the auditory cortex being different in people with misophonia?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a study by Sam Giorgi back in 2015 really highlights these differences.
Okay.
He used fMRI, which lets us see brain activity in real time.
Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, right. Watching the brain light up.
Exactly.
As they listen to stuff.
Yeah, to see what happens when people with mesophonia hear different types of sounds.
Okay.
So he played them neutral sounds, annoying sounds.
Okay.
Like, you know, nails on a chalkboard.
Sure.
And, of course, each person's personal mesophonia triggers.
Right. Okay.
And what he found was fascinating.
Right.
When those trigger sounds hit,
yeah,
the left amygdala lit up like a Christmas tree.
Okay, and remind me again why that's so significant.
So remember how I was saying in most psychiatric disorders, the left amygdala is actually underactive?
Right.
Well, not only does misophonia show us an overactive amygdala, it's specifically the left side that's going haywire.
Okay.
And that tells us, you know, this isn't just about being, quote, oversensitive.
Right.
Your brain is processing these sounds in a totally different way.
Wow.
Which explains why the reactions are so intense. Yeah.
And so hard to control.
It's not just you being picky.
Right.
It's your brain's like...
Your brain is...
This is threats.
Interpreting those sounds as a threat.
Yeah. Okay, so
yeah.
What else is going on in those brains?
Another study by Kumar and his team in 2017
okay.
actually took those brain scans a step further.
Okay.
They found that not only was there more activity, but the brains of people with mesophonia were actually structured differently.
Okay.
They found larger volumes
okay.
of gray matter and white matter in specific areas.
And that means?
So, you know, gray matter is where your brain is processing information.
Yeah.
White matter is how different parts of your brain communicate.
Right, right.
One of the key areas they found with increased gray matter was the right amygdala.
Okay.
This suggests that your brain is interpreting those trigger sounds as emotionally threatening.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
When you think about how you feel that surge of anger or anxiety. Mm-hmm. Right. So those trigger sounds aren't just like annoying. They're actually triggering this really deep-seated.
Right. A deep-seated emotional response.
Emotional response. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like your brain sending out a danger signal.
Exactly.
Even though, you know.
Logically. Yeah.
You know, there's no threat.
There's no threat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they also found increased white matter.
Okay.
In an area called the left frontal cortex, which is all about planning, decision-making, and emotional control.
Huh?
If those connections are stronger, it might explain why it's so hard to control your reactions in the moment.
Right.
Like the signal's getting through loud and clear.
Yeah.
But the brakes aren't working as well.
Okay. It's like your
they should be.
Brain is stuck in overdrive and you can't quite shift gears.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So we've got the amygdala.
Okay.
We've got the frontal cortex.
Yeah.
Anything else? Yeah. Is there anything else?
One more area worth mentioning is the ventromedial prefrontal cortex,
okay.
or the VMPFC.
Okay.
It's basically the CEO of your emotional responses.
Uh-huh.
It helps you figure out what's socially appropriate and how to react in different situations.
Right.
And in people with misophonia, the connections to and from the VMPFC seem to be extra strong.
So maybe that's why.
And that might be why those sounds feel so personally offensive.
Yeah.
Like a direct social violation.
Like you're breaking some rule.
Uh-huh, exactly.
That they have. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So this all raises a big question for me, though.
Yeah.
Why are these brain differences happening in the first place?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we don't have a definitive answer yet.
Okay.
Researchers are still exploring whether it's genetic, environmental, or a combination of both.
Sure.
But there are some intriguing theories out there.
Okay. I'm all ears. Lay them on me.
Okay. So one theory is that it might have to do with something called the mirror neuron system.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Have you heard of those?
Yeah, I've heard about those.
So those are...
They're the brain cells that fire both when you do something and when you watch someone else do the same thing.
That exactly, right? Right? They help us empathize and understand other people's actions and intentions.
Okay.
So the idea is that in people with misophonia, these mirror neurons might be overactive when they hear those trigger sounds,
right?
Especially sounds made by other people.
So it's like their brains are mirroring the action of the person making the sound, which then triggers that like intense emotional and physical response.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, if I see someone chewing loudly, my brain acts as if I'm chewing loudly and sends out all those
negative signals.
Negative signals, yeah.
Yeah, that's the theory. And there is some evidence to support this.
Okay.
Even when people with misophonia know that the sound is coming from a recording, they still have a hard time controlling their reactions. Like their brain is convinced.
Like their brain is convinced
that person is right there.
That they're, yeah.
In the room with them.
Actually doing it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. What about the people who are triggered by sounds
right.
that aren't made by other people? Like we talked about that dripping faucet earlier, yeah. You know.
Uh-huh.
How does the mirror neuron theory explain that?
That's where things get even more complicated.
Okay.
It could be that those non-human sounds have become linked to a negative experience.
Okay.
Even if it wasn't originally connected to a person.
Sure.
You know, like Pavlov's dogs.
Right.
They learned to associate a bell with food.
Yeah.
And eventually the bell alone made them drool.
Right.
Right. So it's that classical conditioning at work.
So if, I don't know, if I have like a really bad experience.
Right.
While hearing a certain sound.
Exactly.
My brain might start connecting that sound with that negative emotion.
That negative emotion, uh-huh.
Even
if the sound itself.
Itself is fine.
Isn't inherently bad.
Yeah, like if I get in a huge fight with my partner.
Exactly.
And like the dishwasher's running.
Right.
And then I start feeling anxious every time I hear the dishwasher run.
You got it.
Yeah.
That's classical conditioning at work.
Okay.
And over time, that association can get so strong.
Yeah.
That just hearing that sound is enough to trigger those negative feelings.
Okay.
And those physical responses.
My brain is officially starting to hurt.
I know, right? It's a lot.
But this is so fascinating.
It is.
You know, it really shows how complex misophonia is.
It does.
It's not just about disliking a sound. It's about how our brains interpret and react.
Exactly.
Based on our experiences and our emotions.
Based on all this stuff, yeah. And all those intricate neural pathways. And that's why ongoing research is so important.
Right.
The more we learn about these underlying mechanisms, the better we'll be able to develop effective treatments.
Speaking of treatments.
Right.
I remember you mentioned something called motor modulation therapy.
Yes.
Which focuses on those.
You've got a great memory.
Yeah.
That's an area that holds a lot of promise.
Physical reactions, right.
So remember how we talked about those involuntary muscle responses?
Yeah.
Like your shoulders tensing up.
Right.
Or your jaw clenching.
Yeah.
When you hear a trigger sound.
Yeah.
Motor modulation therapy aims to address those physical reactions head on.
So instead of just trying to calm your mind.
Right.
We're trying to
help you gain control over.
Help you gain control over those.
Those automatic body responses?
Automatic body responses.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of approaches that are looking promising.
Yeah.
Like what?
So one is biofeedback. Okay.
Where you basically hook yourself up to sensors that measure things like your heart rate.
Okay.
Muscle tension.
Uh-huh.
Then you can actually see those reactions happening in real time.
So you're watching your body be stressed out and you're like, whoa, okay.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It's all about awareness and control.
Right.
And there's another technique called transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS.
Oh, yeah, TMS.
Have you heard of that?
That's the one where they, use magnetic pulses.
Magnetic pulses.
To stimulate.
To stimulate specific parts of your brain.
Specific parts of your brain.
Right.
Yeah.
And with misophonia, researchers are experimenting with using TMS to target.
Okay.
Those overactive areas we talked about.
So like the amygdala.
Like the amygdala.
And auditory cortex.
Auditory cortex.
So like giving them a little nudge to be like, calm down.
That's the idea.
Stop overreacting.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
The early research is showing that TMS can actually lead to
a reduction.
Wow.
In misophonia symptoms.
So it's not even just learning to cope. It's about actually changing how your brain responds.
Changing how your brain responds
to these sounds.
It is pretty incredible.
You're wild.
And that's not all. There are even more treatment options out there that we can dive into.
I'm ready. Okay, so we're back for the final part of our misophonia deep dive. And I'm ready to talk solutions.
Yeah, me too.
You know, we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
The brain science, the emotional impact, even really cutting edge treatments like TMS.
Right.
But for someone who's really struggling with this right now, where do they even begin?
That's the right question. So the first step is always to reach out to a professional.
Okay.
A qualified audiologist.
Right.
Or a therapist who specializes in misophonia can do a thorough evaluation.
Okay.
And help figure out what's going on.
Because, like we talked about, it can be confused with other conditions.
Exactly.
And it can also be happening alongside
things
like anxiety and depression.
Absolutely. So a proper assessment is crucial.
Right.
And once they've figured out what's going on, they can work with you
yeah.
to create a personalized treatment plan.